وإن يونس لمن المرسلين.
And Jonah, peace be upon him too, was one of the messengers. And Jonah, peace be upon him too, was one of the messengers. This represents the third instance in which the prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, is mentioned in the Quran. Reference to him also occurs in Surahs Yunus and Al-Anbiya.
إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ.
Call to mind when he fled to the laden ship. Call to mind when he fled to the laden ship. The word abaka is used in Arabic to denote a slave who runs away from his master. The word ibak, according to Lisan al-Arab, means ibak means a slave's running away from his master. Lisan al-Arab.
فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ.
Cast lots and was among the losers.
فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ.
Then a fish swallowed him and he was blameworthy. Then a fish swallowed him and he was blameworthy. Were we to consider verses 139 and 148 together, it would be clear that the following is what happened. A. When the prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, boarded the ship, it was already loaded beyond its capacity. B. Most probably, when it was realized that this overloading posed a serious threat to the lives of all passengers, lots were drawn to cast someone overboard so as to shed the load. C. The prophet Jonah's name, peace be upon him, appeared in this lot, and consequently he was thrown into the sea and was swallowed by a fish. D. Jonah faced this plight because he had left his station without God's leave. Let us bring to mind the use of the term abaka with regard to him, a term whose meaning we have explained in note 78 above. The use of the expression mulim reinforces that sense as it denotes a guilty person who deserves to be reproached, irrespective of whether he is actually reproached or not.
فلولا أنه كان من المسبحين.
Had he not been one of those who glorify Allah? Had he not been one of those who glorify Allah? This carries two meanings and both are intended. A. The prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, even beforehand was one of those who constantly remembered God. B. When he entered the belly of the fish, he turned only to God and glorified Him. This comes out sharply from the following Quranic passage. Eventually, he cried out in the darkness, "There is no God but you. Glory be to you. I have done wrong." Al-Anbiya 21:87.
لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ.
He would certainly have remained in its belly till the day of resurrection. He would certainly have remained in its belly till the day of resurrection.
This does not mean that the fish would have remained alive till the day of resurrection, and that Jonah, peace be upon him, would have remained in the belly of that fish. What it really means is that the belly of the fish would have been Jonah's grave till the day of resurrection. The famous Quran commentator Qatada interpreted the verse to mean so. Tabari Tafsir comments on verse
144.
But we threw him on a wide bare tract of land while he was ill. But we threw him on a wide bare tract of land while he was ill.
When the prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, admitted his lapse and engaged in God's glorification as a true believer, at God's behest, the fish cast him onto the coast. The coast was a level plain, without any vegetation. Some pseudo-rationalists contend that it is impossible for anyone to come out alive from a fish's belly. However, exactly the same kind of incident took place in a coastal town in England, the center of pseudo-rationalists. A group of fishermen went into the deep seas in August 1891 on the ship Star of the East to hunt whales. They managed to injure a huge whale, which was 20 feet long, 5 feet wide, and weighed 100 tons. However, James Bartley, one of the fishermen, was swallowed up by the whale in the presence of his friends during this encounter. The next day, they found the dead whale and transported it with much difficulty to the coast. On cutting open its belly, James Bartley was found alive. He had been in the whale's belly for more than 60 hours.
وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِّن يَقْطِينَ
And caused a gourd tree to grow over him. And caused a gourd tree.
The word yaktin is used for a tree which does not stand on a stem, but rather grows and spreads like a creeper, such as a gourd, pumpkin, cucumber, and melon. God miraculously allowed a creeper to grow over there. Its leaves provided shade to the prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, and its fruit served him both as food and
وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى 100,000 أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ
And we sent him forth to a nation of 100,000 or more. And we sent him forth to a nation of 100,000 or more.
The figure 100,000 or more does not indicate that God does not accurately know their number. What is meant here is that an observer would have surmised that the town had a population of 100,000 or more. It was presumably the same town from where the prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, had departed. After his departure, the inhabitants of the town embraced faith as they saw God's scourge approaching them. In view of their acceptance of faith, which amounted to repentance, the scourge was averted. The prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, was sent back to them so that they might embrace faith at his hands and lead their lives as believers. For a better comprehension of this, see Yunus 10:98.
فَآمَنُوا فَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينٍ
And they believed, so we let them enjoy life for a while. And they believed, so we let them enjoy life for a while.
Some people have taken exception to our version of the Prophet Jonah's story, peace be upon him, as featured in Surahs Yunus, Surah 10, and Al-Anbiya, Surah 21. It would be pertinent to reproduce below the version of this story as offered by some Quran commentators. While elucidating Yunus 10:98, the distinguished Quran commentator Qatada says there has been no community that committed unbelief and believed after God's punishment had come to them, and yet they were spared punishment. The only exception are the people of Jonah, peace be upon him. As the divine scourge approached, they looked for their messenger and could not locate him in their midst. So God instilled repentance in their hearts. Ibn Kathir, Tafsir, comments on Surah Yunus. Alusi offers the following explanation. The prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, was sent to the people of Nineveh in the region of Mosul. They were unbelievers. The prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, urged them to worship the one true God and to give up idolatry. However, they rejected his call and denounced him as a liar. The prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, warned them that a divine scourge would befall them after 3 days. He left the town in the night before the appointed day of their punishment. The next day, as God's scourge almost encompassed them, they realized that they were on the verge of death and destruction. It was then that they desperately looked for their messenger, but they could not find him. Eventually, they assembled in the open along with their children and cattle. At that stage, they professed faith and repented their sins. God took pity on them and accepted the repentance. Ruh al-Maini comments on Surah Yunus 10:98. In a similar vein, Alusi explains Surah al-Anbiya 21:87. The prophet Jonah's departure, peace be upon him, in a fit of anger directed against his community, no doubt constituted his migration. God, however, had not directed him to do so. Ruh al-Mani comments on Surah al-Anbiya 21:87. As for the prophet Jonah's confession, peace be upon him, that he had done wrong, al-Anbiya 21:87, Alusi writes, His confession of doing wrong underscores the haste with which he migrated. This did not befit a messenger of God. He confessed his lapse in order to win God's acceptance of his repentance. Ruh al-Mani comments on Surah al-Anbiya 21:87. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanawi's gloss on al-Anbiya 21:87 reads as follows. He left the town angry with his community over their unbelief. He did not return to them even after the divine scourge had been averted from them. His departure from the town did not have God's sanction. Bayanul Quran comments on Surah Al-Anbiya 21:87. Maulana Shabir Ahmed Uthmani explains the Prophet Jonah's conduct thus, peace be upon him. Enraged at the misdeeds of his community, he, Jonah, peace be upon him, left the town in a fit of anger. In so doing, he did not wait for the divine directive. He had threatened his community with the divine scourge, which would overtake them after 3 days. Nonetheless, he later admitted his mistake in having left the town in haste without God's command and having abandoned his people. Tafsir Uthmani comments on Surah Al-Anbiya 21:87. Razi's explanation of Al-Safat 37:148 is as follows. God had promised to annihilate the unbelieving people of the Prophet Jonah's town, peace be upon him. While apprehending the imminent divine scourge, the Prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, lost patience and left the town, thus neglecting his mission to guide his community to the truth. He was obliged to continue his mission, for the possibility remained that God would decide not to destroy them. Al-Tafsir Al-Kabir comments on Al-Safat 37:148. While explaining Al-Safat 37:140, Alusi states, Abq denotes a slave's running away from his master. As the Prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, had left his community without his Lord's leave, this expression is befittingly used of him. It was on the 3rd day that he left the town. Unable to trace their messenger, the community members went out along with their cattle. As the divine scourge was approaching them, they turned to God, crying fervently over their misdeeds and sought God's pardon. God accepted their repentance. Ru Almani comments on Al-Safat 37:140. On the import of Al-Safat 37:142, Maulana Shabir Ahmed Uthmani writes as follows. The Prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, stood charged with having committed a mistake in the exercise of his discretion. It was so both in his choice of departing from the town without God's leave and in fixing the day the divine scourge would strike his people. Tafsir Uthmani comments on Al-Safat 37:142. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was instructed not to behave towards the unbelievers in the manner of the Prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, which was characterized by a certain lack of magnanimity and patience towards those who falsified the truth. Tafsir Uthmani comments on Al-Qalam 68:48. Maulana Uthmani, referring to the words in the verse, choking with grief, says as follows, This shows that Jonah, peace be upon him, was filled with anger towards his people, which prompted him, in a state of irritation, to hurriedly imprecate against them, and even make a prophecy regarding the time of God's scourge. Tafsir Uthmani comments on Al-Qalam 68:48. It emerges from all the above that the Prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, had incurred God's displeasure because of the following 3 lapses. A. He himself fixed a date for God's scourge, though God had not specified it. B. He migrated from the town before God's scourge had arrived. A messenger is not supposed to leave his station without God's permission. C. Moreover, he did not return to his hometown even after God's scourge was averted.
فَاسْتَفْتِهِمْ أَلِرَبِّكَ الْبَنَاتُ وَلَهُمُ الْبَنُونَ
So ask their opinion. Are you convinced that your Lord should have daughters and you should have sons? So ask their opinion.
This marks the beginning of a new discourse. The earlier discourse commenced with verse 11. It began with posing to the Meccan unbelievers the question, were they harder to create than the objects we created? At this stage, they are asked another question. The objective of the former question was to jolt the unbelievers, those who had ruled out the possibility of the afterlife, resurrection, and divine retribution, and mocked the Prophet, peace be upon him, because he expounded these doctrines. The present question, however, seeks to alert them to their ignorance, for they ascribed children to God. They gave free rein to their imagination and confirmed ties of kinship between God and whomsoever they wanted.
Are you convinced that your Lord should have daughters and you should have sons?
We learn from traditions in a variety of sources that the Quraysh, Juhana, Banu Salima, Khuza, Banu Mulay, and some other tribes considered angels to be the daughters of God. The Quran refers to this in the following instances. Al-Nisa 4:117, Al-Nahl 16:57-58, Bani Israel 17:40, Al-Zukhruf 43:16-19, and Al-Najm 53:21-27.
أَمْ خَلَقْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةَ إِنَاثًا وَهُمْ شَاهِدُونَ.
Did we create the angels as females, the while they witnessed?
إِنَّهُمْ مِنْ إِفْكِهِمْ لَيَقُولُونَ.
Behold, it is one of their fabrications that they say,
وَلَدَ اللَّهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ.
Allah has begotten, they are liars.
أَصْطَفَى الْبَنَاتِ عَلَى الْبَنِينَ.
Did he choose daughters rather than sons?
مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ.
What is the matter with you that you make such strange judgments?
أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ.
Will you then not take heed?
أَمْ لَكُمْ سُلْطَانٌ مُبِينٌ.
Did you have any clear authority for such claims?
فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابِكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
Bring your book if you are truthful. Bring your book if you are truthful.
There could evidently be no more than two grounds for considering the angels to be God's daughters. The first of these could be observation. Alternatively, it could have a scriptural basis. In other words, there should be a statement on God's authority that the angels are His daughters. The unbelievers, however, cannot substantiate their claim on either of these two grounds. It was the height of their ignorance and folly that they entertained a baseless notion as an article of faith. They attributed to God what was patently ridiculous and outrageous.
وَجَعَلُوا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجِنَّةِ نَسَبًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمَتِ الْجِنَّةُ إِنَّهُمْ لَمُحْضَرُونَ.
They have established a kinship between Allah and the angels, and the angels know well that these people will be arraigned as culprits. They have established a kinship between Allah and the angels.
The Quran employs the word jinn. Some leading Quranic scholars, however, contend that the word jinn has been used here in the literal meaning of hidden creatures, thereby signifying angels, since the angels are essentially hidden creatures. The text that follows also corroborates that the word has been used here to denote angels.
Subhanallahi amma yasifoon.
They say, exalted be Allah above what they attribute to Him.
Illa ibadallahi al-mukhlasin.
All of them except the chosen servants of Allah.
فَإِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ.
So you and your deities,
مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ بِفَاتِنِينَ.
Shall not be able to tempt anyone away from Allah.
إِلَّا مَنْ هُوَ صَالِ الْجَحِيمِ.
Except him who shall roast in the blazing fire. Except him who shall roast in the blazing fire.
This may alternatively be translated as follows. So you and your worship shall not be able to tempt anyone away from God except. Taken in this sense, the angels will tell their devotees that they will be unable to tempt them to err by their act of worshipping them. In other words, the devotees could beguile only those who have been caught in the vortex of their doom. As for the angels, they will simply not oblige their devotees by falling into their trap.
وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا لَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُومٌ.
As for us, there is none but has an appointed station. As for us, there is none but has an appointed station.
Far from being God's children, angels cannot dare to deviate even slightly from the roles assigned to each of them.
وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الصَّافُّونَ.
Verily, We range ourselves in rows as humble servants. And we are of those who glorify Allah.
وَإِن كَانُوا لَيَقُولُونَ
They used to say before,
لَوْ أَنَّ عِنْدَنَا ذِكْرًا مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ
If only we had the reminder which had been granted to the people of yore,
لَكُنَّا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ
We would surely have been Allah's chosen servants. We would surely have been Allah's chosen servants.
The same truth is enshrined in Surah Fatir 35:42.
But when it came to them, they rejected it. They shall soon come to know the end of such an attitude.
وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ
We have already given our promise to our messengers.
إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ
That they shall certainly be succored.
وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ
And that our hosts shall triumph. And that our hosts shall triumph.
God's hosts comprise the believers who follow His Prophet and support His cause, thereby signifying angels since the latter are essentially hidden creatures. The text that follows also corroborates that the word has been used here to denote angels, including the invisible powers that help the votaries of truth by God's leave. God's help and support, however, do not necessarily mean that every prophet of God and his followers will enjoy political ascendancy in every age. Wherever God's prophets do not have such ascendancy, they enjoy moral ascendancy. By the same token, the nations that do not follow those prophets and follow a path contrary to their teachings ultimately meet their doom. All theories and doctrines that are rooted in ignorance and error prosper only for a short while. Even when these are forcibly put into effect, they fail to strike deep roots. However, the truths expounded by God's prophets since time immemorial continue to be immutable. None can shake their roots.
So, O Prophet, leave them alone for a while.
وَأَبْصِرْهُمْ فَسَوْفَ يُبْصِرُونَ
And see, and soon they too shall see. And see, and soon they too shall see.
The Prophet's companions are assured that the Meccan unbelievers will soon witness their own defeat and the victory of the believers. That indeed came true. Within 15 years of the revelation of these verses, the Meccan unbelievers helplessly watched the Prophet, peace be upon him, enter their town, Mecca, as a conqueror. Then, a decade later, the Muslims had established their superiority over both superpowers of the time, the Persians and the Romans.
Do they seek to hasten our chastisement?
فَإِذَا نَزَلَ بِسَاحَتِهِمْ فَسَاءَ صَبَاحُ الْمُنذَرِينَ
When that chastisement will descend upon their courtyard, evil shall that day be for those who had been warned. Leave them alone for a while. And see, and they too shall soon see.
سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون
Exalted be your Lord, the Lord of glory, above what they attribute to Him.
وسلام على المرسلين
And peace be upon the messengers.
والحمد لله رب العالمين
And all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the universe.